Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to another episode of Talk Architecture Podcast. I'm your host, Naziati Muhammad Yaqub. Today's title is How the Design Curriculum Shapes or Determine the Character of the Architect. An interesting conversation started with Azari from UTM. And it is interesting because we were commenting about museum is not recommended as a design thesis topic, and that Azari agreed with me on that account. So what I can say is that continuously, we were discussing about curriculum, and then Azari showed the design curriculum of UTM. Of course, that excites me because I'm into curriculum. And he explained about it because I was thinking, I asked him the question, the way he explained the first instance was that as if the student is concentrating on one thing, which is the skin or the facade of the building, and even deal with that in semester one or stage one, and then later develop the design in stage two. Well, just to state out here that I've had the opportunity to be a studio tutor for a housing project for 14 weeks, and we did the same tactic, which is we focus on the unit design before we do the whole complex or the cluster and block. So what Azari did was to show this diagram, which I am putting in a thumbnail, where there's two strands here, thesis on urban design and planning and thesis on building facade. So there's two themes in which the one with urban planning, you deal with site structure, space, and skin later in stage two, plus services. But you start with site and space and structure and a bit of skin. But for the theme with building facade, you start with skin first. You explore that and then some sort of a research in stage one and site structure and space. Then in the second semester, you go continue with the skin, but the others will be much more explored site structure, space, and services and other stuff. So, overall, there are emphasis on different projects, but all would deal with the five S's, referring to Frank Duffy's diagram in the book How Buildings Learn by Stuart Brand, which is the five S's, which are site, structure, skin, space, and stuff. But he added six, which is the services. Fair enough. I would put services as stuff as well. Services is something like an M&E. Some people call it a mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. Something that they say in America, MEP. Well, by structure and construction, it's like the fundamental. Where the MEP could be 30% of the building, But it has to do with the engineers. Of course, the engineers will deal with the structure, but the architect needs to know about the structure as well. It's just the engineer do the detail for the structure. And the structure is about design, whereby the MEP is about installation. So spaces to have MEP is something that is in the stuff or that is in the space. So there are permanent stuff and such as built-in cabinets or fixtures, as there are stuff that you can move around. So, yeah, fair enough to put the services, but yeah, I'll refer back to Frank Duffy's 5S rather than do a 6S. Now, based on what I've explained just now. Okay, it's interesting that UTM actually looks at urban design and the site. Urban design and planning, because they are respectful or allow the students accommodate the thinking about urban design and planning, which is a good move. So you have two types of characters been determined. Someone who could explore, who likes to explore a bigger macro sort of design and touching on planning, which has nothing to do with design. Yes, it has nothing to do with design. It used to be that planning was not strategic planning, but physical planning, and that planners actually understood about design in a very fundamental way. But now we don't really see that. And there is this one profession that is urban design, which is more to do design and urban planning, with more to do planning, sort of straddling between building design and planning. But let's put that aside for now. We only deal with design and urban design more than urban planning. And then we have building design. So the character of some of the future architects from UTM would be dealing with only the building. It's more of to do with interior architecture and more to do with skin architecture and form making and space making of the building. It's not to say that the one doing the urban design doesn't do architecture. It's saying that they are dwelling on the site context more. So here we have a more contextual theme as opposed to the one which is doing the building. So we can see that two types of, or two characteristics, one more contextual architect and one more on a building architect. So, but he still, Azari, he still think that museum is not recommended, and he has his points that he explained earlier on in the Facebook posts. I would like to take us now to actually looking at the bigger picture of why do you design the curriculum as you would. Designing the architecture studio curriculum from the first year to the fifth year. And what is the fifth year? What does it mean to be in the progression of development of the architect? Sometimes we say that fifth year is transition between being a student of architecture and being employed as a practicing architect. But we can also say that fifth year and the year after when you're employed and another year when you're employed are the transition years. We can't really say that fifth year is everything. But you could, in your wanting to create the character of the architect as someone who is has a design methodology that he or she could bring later into architectural practice, you could look at it that way. What it is meant to have a design methodology. So when we look at UTM's curriculum, One is the design, urban design and planning, design methodology, and another is the facade design methodology. So I think the facade design methodology is trying to suit to the character of the architect that deals with environmental sustainability, but not, not what shall we say, in the way University of Malaya design curriculum does it. Now, it doesn't say environmental sustainability, but this courses on sustainability is being taught, or green architecture, because out there, climate change and green architecture, which has a lot to do with facade design, is very much the vogue or the trend that is happening. And you can spawn specialists from that area with just looking at the facade. And then you can go into skyscraper design or the design of, you know, variety of ways of doing the skyscraper, the skin. So in a way, this is much more clear, this curriculum, rather than the University of Malaya curriculum, which you could be doing a community project, but you still need to do environmental sustainability. What in the previous unit system at University of Malaya, I'm not talking about the labs, because I haven't been involved with the labs system, but in the unit system, lecturers who did the environmental sustainability group has students who were not really, were dealing with a lot of things, and it wasn't really focused in a way that UTM is focused. So whether or not it's right or wrong to do so is something else. I'm talking about design curriculum. So a design curriculum, when you teach architecture, the more clear the intent is, what sort of architect you want to produce, or you want to have their characters, because you're looking into the industry, you're looking into what's there. So the sort of curriculum that is geared for the sort of catering to the industry agenda is important in a way that you're dealing with what's out there. Whether you want to deal with the present situation or the future, or the predicted future or speculation, is something else. As I recall that in a team of consultants where you're managing complex buildings or skyscrapers, there you break down, because this is the reality. There are different teams. They're not just one team. Traditionally, there is one team of architects, planner, engineers, interior designers, and so on. There's one team that deals from the beginning until the end. Often this project is manageable to do so, and traditionally to do so. But here we have contracts that where you package it up. So the architect only deal with the skins. So the rest will be dealt by a different architecture company, perhaps. You know, you have big projects such as international airports or skyscrapers, where different companies deal with the different aspects of the project, obviously. And mechanical and engineering and plumbing, sorry, electrical and plumbing would be a big deal because of the complexity in terms of services. Transport, vertical transportation, meaning lift systems, and this would need to be highly specialized because of the safety issues and how to maintain a very expensive building of sorts. So when we trained future architects in architecture schools, we know about this, and we're clear about this. One thing that the students of architecture which graduate from that school will appreciate, the fact that we're clear about it, and they made that decision which one to go for. Now, UTM, going back to UTM curriculum, where they don't focus on labs like the units, right? In University Malaya, there is, let me go into it, three units, one of which is heritage conservation. Another is, heritage and conservation architecture lab. Another is urban and community architecture lab. Another is green and sustainable architecture lab. So how University of Malaya does it is thematic in a way, but I found in the beginning when they started the labs that students in the heritage and conservation architecture lab were not very clear about the agenda for heritage and conservation. When you put the word conservation there, you can have museums or you can have a certain sort of typology being explored. So hence my criticism that I've done in the previous podcast. So also, the students could, the type of project or the how the evidence of the project outcome shows that it's more of a community architecture project or even an urban and community architecture project, meaning that why is that student in the heritage and conservation architecture lab and why is that permissible? Because the specialization is not clear. Because the creation of these labs need to be very clear. If not, then do away with the heritage and conservation architecture lab and just focus on the other two labs. And when there is a heritage or conservation component, then that could be part of the special studies. Because there is something called special studies for each architectural project. And the students may determine that special studies. This is the advantage to UTM, what UM has. The special studies, at the end of the stage one, it emerged because that's more relevant, because maybe it is to do with the building user, the type. Maybe an elderly daycare center. So you're looking into universal design. And when you explore that, certain themes, community architecture, where do you go down in your deep dive? You know, when there's horizontal and vertical, broad study and there's deep study. So the deep diving into the topic of community architecture goes to the user and design of universal design or specialized design any other way of the building type. So if it's a library, then, and you superimpose that with the use, the user are elderly people or disabled people, then you could have a much, much more specialized design in terms of spatial study. So when you compare that to UTM, UTM makes it very broad and it all depends on the lecturer where to go. So it's, well, of course, maybe there is argument that Azari would like to make with regard to what I had to say, but this is what I see that and there could be an advantage in a way that the different tutors could be encouraged to create another, the clarity of one is urban design and planning and the other is on building facade. The clarity of that is that the lecturer coming to coach the different units in UTM, they would put their own bent on it or their own, you know, but they really need to create a detailed program that will help the student to reach their goals or their desired outcomes. So this is my two cents worth of what I think about UM and UTM. I said it and I've already said it and I think they just need to improve or they need to be much more aware of what this design curriculum could do for the students of architecture that will come out and graduate from their respective universities. So that's all my comment for today. Talk to you again next time.